crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAM, zip, sips. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
And welcome everybody to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 70. Coming to you on November 16th, 2004. I am Stank Dog, back again this week. And I should probably start off by thanking last week's host, Buck Dangler. Thank you, Buck Dangler, for hosting episode 69, making a comeback after RFA episode 69. It's the last time we heard from Buck Dangler, so it was good to hear him again. And, of course, to Mr. Pink and to Juicy Julie as well. But I am back today. I am feeling a little bit better. I hope I sound a little bit better. I still got an occasional cough going on here, but hey, what can I tell you? Nashville's got bad stuff. And I'm going to introduce a new co-host we have for this episode who is probably the cause of me getting sick at Nashville, at Freaknik, and that is our first-time co-host, not to be the last, I'm sure, Natus. Welcome to the show.
Yo, yo, thanks a lot.
And, dude, why'd you make me sick?
I'm sorry.
We shared a room. I woke up the next morning, and I'm sick.
Well, I got sick at DEF CON, so...
Yeah, but I've been sick, like, all month. Like, I couldn't get rid of this. Whatever it... I'm drinking chalk. I swear to God, I'm drinking, like, old milk with sand in it. Like, when you drink this medicine, it's, like, grainy, and it's, like, gets in your teeth and stuff. It's... Oh! It's horrible, horrible stuff. But, hey, it seems to be working, so I'm not gonna complain. The last stuff they gave me didn't work. I don't know what you got, man, but you need to get checked out because that was bad stuff for me. But that's all right. The sweet, sweet loving made up for it.
Yeah.
Well, we got quite a few emails to take care of this week, so we should probably just jump into that first. But, well, we've got to play our email theme song here. Hold on. Okay, and... Email time. Now, actually, I had a couple emails on this particular topic, so I'm not going to read them, but I just wanted to point out that I had some people requesting that I do podcasting. Podcasting is, of course, a way to get the show out to the iPod users. They can check for the shows when there's new episodes and things like that. So that is something very cool, something that I've heard of, I've never done before myself. But I do think that's kind of a cool idea. I am willing to try that. But I just got too much on my plate right now. I got too many other priorities. I will do that. I will try to do that soon. About the same time I put up the show in Aug Vorbis format, which is still on my list of things to do. So I will try that. For those of you who are asking, I will do that to the best of my ability as time permits. Now, Natus, do you have an iPod?
Yes, I do.
And do you like it?
Oh, yeah. I'm an avid iPod user.
Are you really?
Yeah, I like them a lot. I've had one for a couple years.
What size?
I'm up to the 20 gig. I keep upgrading over time, you know, just keep building up my library.
Now, what about all the battery problems that people said they had? Have you ever had any problems with the battery dying or anything? Or?
No, I don't know. People are just being bitches about it. I mean, it's true that it will, you know, eventually fade out over time, but, I mean, just eBay it.
Yeah, but
that's what I do. I just get one. I use it for, like, I don't know, like 8 or 9 months, and then I just eBay it. Like,
oh, that's terrible. But you haven't actually had any batteries go out on you?
No.
You have not had the problem that other people claim they have had? defective.
No, I guess I probably don't use it like nonstop enough, you know, to cause it to drain like that.
Do you do any kind of? Do you listen to any podcasting stuff? Do you listen to podcasts?
No, I haven't.
No. Well,
it sounds pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna see what I can do and see if we can put that up. I'll have to check into it a little bit more because, like I said, I've never done it, so I don't know what it entails. It might actually be easy, but I just have to get the time to set aside to work on that.
Yeah.
So, what about, wait a minute, as long as we're on this topic, because I don't have an iPod, I don't know much about this, maybe you can educate us a little bit on this. Have you tried any of the other, like, I guess for lack of a better word, the knockoffs? Like, I know one of the guys I work with has the Dell Jukebox, it's called, and that seemed pretty cool, I liked it. Is there any, like, advantage or disadvantage between them other than the fact that the iPod is it's Apple, is it Mac only, or do they have a PC interface? Do they have a Windows or Linux interface for it?
Oh, come on, you don't know this stuff?
I don't know. I've never had one of these, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're Windows, Mac, Linux, everything.
Hmm.
I mean, they don't say Linux on them, you know? You can't buy, like, a Linux iPod, you know,
no.
Hacks for them and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody has written software that will interface with it?
Yeah.
For Linux?
And then you haven't seen all the stupid new HP iPod stuff?
No, I have not.
Man, that's a
pity. I can't afford...
Basically... It's just HP trying to take credit for, like, an iPod, just so people don't fear saying Apple and thinking that it won't work with their PC. They put HP's name on it for PC users.
I guess from a marketing standpoint, that's kind of a good idea for your typical
but it's kind of taken away from Apple's image, I think, like... People think that HP was all badass and came up with it, but it was Apple.
I think everybody knows that Apple iPod is from Apple, and I'm sure they licensed it. I'm sure they made a bundle licensing and allowing them to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Apple would not do it if they didn't think it was in their best interest, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's just I would never buy the HP iPod.
Hmm.
I don't know.
If it was cheaper. I'm sure.
I still wouldn't buy it.
I assume it's probably the same price because I bet you Apple still makes them.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's part of the deal is that they can't undersell them, undercut them.
Right.
But no, I can't bling like that, man. You're the one making the big money, not me. I can't afford that stuff. Although, actually, I was going to mention this at the beginning of the show, and I guess I can go ahead and mention it now since it just popped into my head. One thing that I can't afford and finally switched to is VoIP. I meant to say that at the top of the show. This is the first time that I've recorded the show using VoIP, and it sounds pretty good. You're coming through loud and clear. I know you're on your cell, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, you're on your cell, but I am on my VoIP line going through my cable modem, and this is really the first time I've put it to any kind of stress test at all. I've tried a few short calls. Done some settings, played with some other little tricks that I found, but this is the first time. So if you drop off the line, you're gonna have to call back. Let's see if the line will say stay stable for an hour or so longer to do the show. Meant to mention that at the beginning. Finally ventured into the world of VoIP. Let's see, what was I? Oh yeah, email time. Email. First email this week comes from UT Crazy. I don't know if that has anything to do with Unreal Tournament or just coincidence, but UT Crazy says, "Hey Stank, I listen to your show every week and look forward to your rants and other great parts about the show. Regarding the TV license in the UK that you mentioned on episode 69, you do have to pay a monthly fee to own a television. I don't know about the TV police checking if you have a TV, but you do have to pay. Thanks for making this amazing radio show. Keep up the good work." Now, I had a couple people also email me and verify this. And frankly, I went straight to Nick84, our overseas correspondent of DDP. He gave me the full story and confirmed for it. And it turns out, he gave me a couple links, actually. I did a little research on my own, too. It turns out that they do have a fee. They do have that. It does exist. And the listener last week said it was around 17. I didn't get anyone else to confirm a price, but $17 a month. and they do have people who go house to house and check for it. They have a van or something they drive around, like the A-Team or something. And they drive around. They have some kind of equipment in there that they can apparently detect TV signals or or TV signals, and I guess they also have a database of people who have not paid, so they try to catch them using a television or prove that they have a TV when they're not on the authorized paying customer TV list. So they do have some kind of, I don't know if they're police or if they have any kind of authority or whatever, but it's kind of scary because I was reading some stories online about people that were caught and stuff like that, and there's some funny stories about excuses people make. But these people, not only do they drive around, but they go up to the door and, like, they look in your windows, they peer in the back door, back of the house, they go around the back, and if they see a TV in view, you're busted. And I don't know how cool I am with somebody creeping around my yard. I hope that's where you got to have, like, a nasty pit bull or something waiting for them, you know?
It's just messed up.
Yeah, that's, seriously, I mean, that's, somebody, all I'm saying is somebody tries to come up to my back door, they're going to meet a shotgun face to face. That's no joke, man. Nobody come up to, no, there's no back door entry in more ways than one, but I won't even go off onto that. That was episode 69. We'll get off of that. The other trick, and I don't know why people do this, a lot of these stories involved the fact that they let the person come into their house. They knock on the door, can I come in for a second, I'm with the TV police, slam the door in their face and say, heck no. I mean, that just seems like common sense to me. I mean, am I missing something there? If somebody, Nat, excuse me, sir, I'd like to come in and see if you have any illegal narcotics. No.
Oh, okay.
Leave. Just let them on in, huh?
That's news to me, man. I can't believe I have stuff like this going on over there.
Yeah. And I'm sure you don't have illegal narcotics. I was just making that up for our American listeners. Because we don't have this TV law or whatever it is. So, yeah, that's kind of, I don't know. And like I said, there was some funny excuses on there. The biggest excuse people use is, I don't live here. I just came over to feed the dog. I just came over to water the plants. I don't live here. It's the neighbors are out of town or whatever. So that was kind of funny. But eventually, it seems like most of these people were getting caught. You don't get away with it for very long. They don't joke about their money.
It's strange, man.
And I'd be curious of the legal implications on that. But anyway, that's enough about that, I guess.
Hey, I have a question now.
Shoot.
What happens when these people get caught?
I don't know. Actually, that is a good question. I don't know if they... I think they simply have a fine. They have to pay a fine, and I don't know how they could possibly charge them back payments because they can't prove how long they've had the television. Unless
something
they
to look into, though.
Yeah, that is a good question. I do not know the answer. Well, I'll have to hit our overseas correspondent back up again. I have to ask Nick84 what's up with that. Let's see. But see, I'm sure he's probably never been caught for something like that. So we got to find somebody who's been busted for that. You know, if there's a listener out there, UT Crazy or our listener from last week or some of the people emailed me, let me know if you've ever been caught and what the punishment was. I did not find that. I didn't think to look for it actually in my research. Okay, anyway, let's move on to another email. The second email this week comes from System Shocker. And System Shocker says, "Dear Stank, I mailed you a couple of times. I'm from Romania. Romania is not a part of Russia. It's a democratic country. I asked you not to play Metallica on the air because it's an offense to Metallica. If you won't air my mail, I'm going to kill myself. My blood will be on my hands." Well, you know, first of all, I'm glad your blood is on your hands and not mine, first of all. It says, "My blood will be on my hands." Well, good luck with that. Have fun with that. But not for me. But first of all, honestly, I don't understand why he said that Romania is not a part of Russia. I mean, unless on a past episode, I can't think of it. Can you, that I mentioned Russia or Romania being a... the same thing, or did I somehow make a mistake there?
I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I must have and forgot about it, but I guess thank you for correcting me, like I cared. A little subliminal message there. Thank you for correcting me. But you know what? Even if I was wrong on that, there's one thing I am 100% certain of, and that is how horribly, incredibly much, Metallica sucks the cock. That is something that I can. Oh, when I say cock, by the way, for our FM listeners out there, I say cock. I mean, of course, rooster. They really suck the rooster. For all of you listening on FM radio out there, I don't know if that got bleeped or not, but of course, I was meant rooster when I said sucks the cock. But yeah, like a really, really big feathery rooster too, with a big head on the end of it. Ugh. I can't stand Metallica. I liked them before the whole Napster thing. But you know what? They sold out. They started crying because they weren't making enough millions. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 9 million's not enough. We need 9.1. You know what, Metallica? You can kiss my rooster. How about that? I can't stand them. I feel
the same way, too.
And Sheryl Crow. You know, they can both swing
Sheryl
on my
Crow.
Yeah, isn't that her name? Sheryl Crow. She was the other one that was crying about how she was losing all this money and how what a ripoff and stuff it was.
Really, I remember Eminem was crying about it too.
Was he? I think Dre was a little bit, but I think Dre gave in finally.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Chuck D is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. Some people get it and some people don't, but Metallica doesn't. And I've said this on the show before, and I'm not going to get into this rant again, but it's unavoidable. It's too late. I mean, what was it? I used to have a saying, like on the first few episodes of the show, I used to use it a lot. You can't put the shit back in the horse. That's definitely going to get bleeped out on the radio, but it's too late. This is something that listeners and consumers demanded. And they got tired of getting ripped off, and they made this happen. They gave themselves new opportunities and new options, you know. And it's not necessarily that it's the whole Napster sharing for free thing, but these people are still fighting releasing their music in any kind of digital format. They're all still fighting it, you know. Other
ridiculous.
Than iPod and iTunes or whatever. Finally, some people, but there's people that still won't participate in that.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. And you know what? That's why people stop buying their albums. That's why you haven't seen any. You haven't seen them on television and any concerts or getting any performances. You know why? Because no one cares. Bye bye. We don't care about you, Lars. You can go. Bye. Your 15 minutes of fame are over. Leave. Go cry to mommy. Can't stand them, and I never will. I
lost all respect for them.
But I might download their next album. Oh no way! I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Actually, I wouldn't even waste my hard drive space, to be quite honest with you.
I hope they don't even have another album.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch myself here. I hope this guy doesn't like kill himself because we're dissing Metallica. He's all suicidal and stuff. He says if I don't air his mail, he's gonna kill myself. Well, I read your letter on the air. Your email has been aired out to our listeners, thousands of listeners across the country. There you go. So don't kill yourself or anything. But Metallica does suck. So. Sorry, I can't help you with that one. Let's see, what else do we have here? We got a lot of email. We got, I got this email from, I'm going to withhold their name just because I'm not sure if they would want me to release it, only because the tone of the letter, I don't know if they want me to tie it to them. But anyway, first of all, dear Count Buckingham Dangler, I guess I've got so many nicknames now that they're all crossing over. I have a few questions related to programming. I am absolutely... And Natish, you're going to answer this.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. I am absolutely sure that you answered this somewhere in the 50 radio shows that I have yet to listen to. However, I want to start messing around now, and I am apprehensive in regards where to start. Everyone has their own ideas and preferences. As a person wanting to learn to program for automation, development, and fun, what would you recommend as the appropriate language to learn, knowing that I know the following things, which you will most likely know? Well, not necessarily. Don't sell yourself short, and don't sell other people too high. You'd be very surprised. Let's see. He goes on. He says, I have done away with Windows as my primary OS. Linux is it for me, 2 weeks and counting. Well, that's cool, but I don't necessarily think you have to get rid of Windows yet. You know, I run both, you know, operating systems and then some around here. So, you know, use the right one for the job. I've never been one that said, I like Linux, I support it, but I've never been one to say, completely abandon Microsoft and go all Linux. Not yet. Not yet. So, don't, you know, dual boot. Like, on my laptop, I dual boot to both, so I have the best of both worlds. So, but since you have made the switch to Linux, he goes on to say Linux is 90% programmed in C. I don't know how true that is, but I'll take your word for it. C++ was developed from some reason I can't remember, but it had to do with Linux. No, that's not exactly true at all, no. C++ was developed as one of the early object-oriented programming languages, and I wish I would have looked this up before the show. Now I'm on the spot, but I'm pretty sure that C++ might predate even the first versions of Linux. If the listeners know,
yeah, I'm sure it does, doesn't it?
If the listeners,
C that we're thinking of.
Well, C's definitely. I know for a fact C's been around for the longest of times. You know,
is C the one that was made by AT&T, Bell Labs or whatever?
I don't know who developed. I don't know who developed C++. I think it's safe to say that C++ was developed before Linux. But even if it wasn't, and please, by all means, somebody correct me, email me if you know some specific dates. And I'm probably going to look this up after my show myself because I won't be able to sleep without getting the answer to this. I don't think it was driven by Linux at all. I mean, Linux, even when C++ came out, I mean, it's been a while, and Linux at that point in time, even if it was developed, was still in its earliest infancy. So I don't know that Linux had anything to do with driving C++. I think it was just a natural progression of a fourth-generation programming language, just moving up to a different, you know, moving up to a smarter, more powerful language, which has happened, you know, for the past few decades as things just evolve. I think it was just a natural progression of things. So I don't think it was really driven by Linux. I don't believe that to be the case.
Man, I feel like a noob not knowing any of this stuff.
Well, I'm not saying it's gospel or anything, but I feel pretty confident. I could be wrong.
Didn't Linus program Linux and C++?
I don't know if C++... Well, see, the thing is, it's one of those things that where there's so many people contributing to it. I don't know what the actual kernel, because, you know, Linus, however you want to pronounce it, is the one who actually writes most of the kernel stuff and incorporates everything in the kernel. But when people refer to Linux, they're really referring most of the time to the distro with all the other apps and stuff like that, and they're written in all kinds of different things. So that's why I was kind of questioning the 90% written in C. A lot of it, quite a bit, is in C. That may be accurate, but it seems a little high to me. Because there's a lot of Perl, there's a lot of, there's just shell code, simple shell code shell scripts. There's just too many languages to mention going on. But C is definitely the predominant one. But anyway, back on point to the email here. In a radio show about the MagCard reader, 50-something, the guy said that he made it in VB, Visual Basic, of course, because it needed to be quick and pretty. Does this mean you can't do the same with C, or that it would have been much more work? Well, first of all, the guy he's referring to is Acidus, and when he had him on, we were talking about Stripe Snoop, we were talking about MagCards and cards in general and some programming stuff. He did it in Visual Basic for the simple reason that Visual Basic is easy, super easy. And coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more myself because I had never used Visual Basic until very recently. I had kind of purposely avoided it, but I decided to take the plunge. I can tell you that Visual Basic obviously is a Microsoft product, and Microsoft Visual Basic, Visual Studio, whatever version you have, comes with an editor, comes with a canvassing tool that basically allows you to drag and drop and create all the visual aspects of a program. That's what all of the visual languages do. Visual C++, Visual C#, Visual J#, I think they're pushing now, etc., etc. All that these things do, what they do for you, is they save you the time of having to write all the functions and the code for the visual interface to, obviously, since it's Microsoft product, to Windows. So when you get an application that was written in Visual Basic, for example, and usually you can find out, usually they tell you, or you can figure out where what it was written in somehow, especially open source projects, obviously. When you look at that, and let's go ahead and stick, I mean, we have to stick with Windows because, well, that's the way it is. So you download, let's say, a freeware application for Windows and install it and run it. When you look at that, all of the buttons, all of the menus, the background image, the about button, all of those things, every time you click, every time you drag, every time you point, every time you double click, every time you resize, every single action in Windows has to be, you have to write a program that tells it how to handle that. What do I do when somebody clicks this button? Well, A, it comes with a canvassing tool to draw the button for you and let you move it around, which is nice, so you can make it look visually super easy. And every time you do that, you drag a button, for example, onto the canvas. That's what Visual Studio does, is it writes all the code for that button behind the scenes for you. It's initiated, it's created, the shell of what it's going to do is placed there for you, so that you don't have to spend time writing the function calls and all the objects for the interface itself. So the button click itself, all you got to do is drag it and create it there, and Windows, Visual Basic will take care of the rest. You then go to the source code, and then you'll actually write more traditional programming of what you want the button to do. It handles the button click and says, when somebody presses the button, type here what you want it to do, and that's where your part of the programming comes in. So you can make a program with a couple buttons on it, and you have to write the code. If the button simply goes hello world and springs back at you, that's, you know, that's a one-liner. That's a very simple thing. And that goes back to C++ you mentioned, is object-oriented programming. The other thing about all the visual products is they come with a bunch of objects, a bunch of libraries with a bunch of objects and functions and things already written. Common thing. So not only does it write the code for you, it's actually ridiculous how easy it's gotten. Not only does it write the code for the visual aspect, a lot of the code for functions of what you want to do, you want to return a dialog box that says hello world. There's a function that will return that, and I'm afraid I don't know it well enough to tell you exactly which objects they are and what parameters to pass to it, but I'm sure the parameter is a string of some kind that you want it to display. And when you call that, it has all that stuff, all the code for that written behind the scenes as well in an object. So really, you can type one line and have a working Visual Basic program after just dragging and dropping, typing one line of code, compiling it. You've got a program up and running. So when he says he made it in Visual Basic because it needed to be quick and pretty, that's exactly the way it sounds. He drew it, put it up very quickly, typed in his bit of code, which is not as simple as the one I just described. It's very much different. And I think it was actually, I think his Visual Basic code was published in 2600 last issue, or maybe the one before that. But anyway, that's what the visual products do. They're Microsoft products, however, and as you said earlier, you've moved over completely to Linux. So I hope I didn't bore you with that, but anybody who was wondering, there's a little lesson on what the visual stuff is all about. Now, getting into the differences between .NET framework and web applications versus Windows applications, that's definitely too much to go into right now. And I may have already bored Natus to sleep anyway. Are you still alive?
No. I feel like a noob now, and I probably made an ass out of myself because I don't know jack shit about programming.
No, I'm just gonna
keep my mouth shut.
No, that's not really the thing. Is you're learning. I know what you're practicing, and you're probably gonna talk about it a little bit in the show and tell coming up. But I know that you've been doing some programming and trying to learn and teach yourself. And you know what? Believe it or not, I know it can get frustrating at sometimes, but teaching yourself, I still think, is the best way. It's kind of nice to have somebody to bounce questions off of when you run into a problem. So that's why it's cool to be surrounded with people like Knot Theory and Voodoo Hal and programmers that know what they're doing. You know, if I have a problem trying to write a Perl script, which you're probably better at than me, to be quite honest with you. No. I don't know Perl that much. I call Duel. I call up Duel and ask him, you know, hey, what does this mean? Hey, what am I doing wrong? What's this error I'm getting? You know, so it's definitely nice to have people ask questions to, and our forums are filled with some pretty good people. A lot of talented people, so there's always, you know, we have a code section for you to go in and bounce code off of people and help other people with code and ask questions and things like that. So don't sell yourself short, believe me. You're not as bad as you think. And now, let's see, where was it? This was an email. Where was I in this email? Which more work? Okay. My final end result is to learn a programming language that is both moderately easy to learn so that I could be able to start creating ASAP and one with a high amount of versatility. Please help a poor, distraught, fumbling, and mumbling listener. Well, like I just described, I know some people, you know, are the Linux diehards. They're not going to like me recommending the Visual stuff, but if you want something fast and easy, Visual Studio is the way to go. And even though it does a lot of the work for you, if you listen to what I said earlier, it wasn't very long, but it was pretty, I think, a pretty good explanation of it writing all that code and all the stuff behind the scenes. As long as you know what it's doing, that it might actually give you a better understanding of what objects are. Yes, okay, Visual Basic and Visual whatever makes it easier, but yes, you absolutely can write those things from scratch, really in a text editor if you really got that much skill that you can sit down. Dragging the buttons and all those interfaces and stuff like that, all that stuff comes in libraries for whatever, not operating system, but whatever shell that you're using. So if you want to write a visual application, a button application, whatever you want to call it, under Linux, you're probably going to use the KDE libraries or the GNOME libraries and stuff like that, which come with most of that stuff already done, or at least tell you how to do it, and you can figure it out for yourself. But that's a lot to learn. Uh-oh, what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I dropped you there. I heard a click.
No. Yeah, it got kind of staticky for a second.
You can technically sit down and write it all from scratch, but Visual Studio does it for you. So do some other editors. Forte, which is, I think, now called Sun 1, which is a Java development tool, is kind of similar. It will let you do a lot of that stuff and write a bunch of the code for you. But yes, you can sit down. If you know the library calls, you're going to use glibc, all that stuff for your basic code, and you're going to use KDE, GNOME, whatever, you know, whatever interface, whatever X-Windows libraries that you want to use for your particular application. Now, if you use specifically KDE stuff, it's pretty much going to work only in KDE without some tweaking by the user anyway. So usually people just use the X libraries, the X11, the X386, whatever your library of choice is, to do that kind of stuff under Linux. I personally cannot recommend or don't know of a good visual editor under Linux. I don't know if they exist. Every time I've done anything in Linux, quite frankly, I do it through VI. And I hate VI, but that's the only thing, you know, I'm just old school. I started doing it that way, and I've never learned anything any better. So that's definitely something, if somebody knows better and has more experience, I'd love to hear some good applications or suites, programming suites, for Linux. You know, for the GUI, for the Linux GUI, that is. So, as all that I just threw at you, my recommendation, quite simply, start off with C. Just start off, look at some C applications that are already out there. Perl is great, but it's really a scripting language. It's a powerful, powerful one that can do a lot of things that even C does, but Perl and shell scripting and things like that they're very command line oriented. They're not something you can do visual stuff with. It depends on, it's the same thing I said earlier, it's the right tool for the job. If you want to write just a script, you want to automate something quickly, Perl's great at stuff like that. If you want to draw something with buttons, you want to write a game, you want to write something that people click on and use in a GUI, then you definitely want to go with the C, C++ route, because you can use, again, a lot of those libraries that have precompiled functions, precompiled objects that you can call upon, and it makes it that much easier. See, this is the thing. You can go on forever. Perl has that stuff. I'm pretty sure there's things that will let you do graphics and interfaces in Perl, but I don't think Perl is best applied that way. That's just a matter of opinion, though. Anyway, geez, I hope I didn't just use up our entire show going off on that.
It's good stuff, though.
Well, I hope I didn't put you to sleep again. I tell you what, let's go on to another email here before we completely bore everybody to tears. And I hope that helped. I really do. And if you can go out to our forums again, binrev.com, forums.binrev.com. We have a code section. There's also a bunch of projects that I've added out there recently. So go out there and get involved. Some of them are programming. Some of them are non-programming. There's a lot of people out there that know what they're doing. So definitely it's a good resource to go check out. Now, next email here comes from another person with their real name that I'm going to hold out. And this person says, I think it would be interesting to do a show all about text encryption, some sort of encryption primer for noobs. Just an idea. It's something I don't know much about. Well, again, somebody asked last week, and I bring it up again this week to remind people that I've been communicating with Alonka. We've just had conflicts of schedule. Alonka, she's the expert. She's definitely the one to talk to about encryption. I know the basics, but she's definitely the one to answer questions. So I am going to be I've already put some show notes together. I've already put some questions to put up to her to try to start with the beginning and then see how much more advanced we can get by the end of the show. But she is definitely the one to want to talk about, and we are in the process of scheduling. It might be next week, might be the week after that, it might be the week after. It's definitely going to be soon, within the next month or so.
Sounds like good stuff, though.
Oh, and you know what? And not only is she brilliant, you know, I know she's very humble. She doesn't like, but not only is she really good at what she does, but she was so nice. I don't know if you had time to meet her. Did I introduce you, or did you meet her at Freaknik?
Was she the lady was with what's his name, when he was doing the Magstripe stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot all about it. She did come into our room.
Yeah,
she came into our room when we were
to meet her because you were busy filming and stuff.
Yeah, Acidus came. Acidus was doing some stuff. Yeah, we were doing some stuff for Hack TV, and she was in there for part of that, kind of watching, and we talked about some things. Yes, that was her. So yeah, that's who we're talking about. And like I said, I have spoken to her a couple times, and we are going to get her on the show sometime soon. So look forward to that. And our last email of the day here. Gosh, sometimes we end up with a show full of emails, which is great, though, because, you know, it tells me what people want to hear. So this last email is from Alien Elite, who says, "Hey, Stank, I've been meaning to write in for a while just to say the show was one of my favorites. I found it a while back and have been hooked ever since. I haven't been able to check out the zine yet, but I'll be ordering soon. I also was happy as hell to see oldschoolfreak.com back up and running. All right, man, take it easy, and I'll be looking forward to checking out the BinRev magazine piece." And this is probably a good way to segue. We'll close up the mailbag, and head into the show and tell. And I guess we'll segue into you to start it off, because he mentioned Old School Freak back up and running, and I didn't do that. You did that.
Who did?
You did. You the man.
Me?
You the man.
I did that. Really?
Yep. It's got your name all over it. Somebody's been doing it. Somebody's been maintaining it.
Oh, I guess I was me then.
I moved it over to a new hosting. I transferred the name, all that kind of stuff, and then handed it over to you. So don't be humble. It's all yours.
Good stuff, though.
So what exactly have you been doing with Old School Freak? This is your... I'm going to take a sip of this crappy, horrible-tasting Pepsi Edge because I have nothing else to drink in the house. So you go ahead and talk about your show and tell stuff while I take a sip of this liquid and crap.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. But, yeah, I don't know. What should I talk about?
Well, what have you done with Old School Freak?
Well, I don't know. I've just been maintaining it and everything, you know.
Yeah. What kind of...
people are still sending in articles and stuff, and it's just something that I didn't want to see just sit there and just die. So, you know, I wanted to maintain it.
Yeah, and none of us did, and our worst-case scenario was we were going to bring it back up as a final version just for integrity, just so people could still get the old text files and stuff on there, but you took it over, and yeah, people are sending articles, and not only people, you wrote some articles and put them up there too. Didn't you do some back spoofing things? And
yeah, I did a back spoofing exchange scam in Mount Vernon, Washington. It was for one of the first new VoIP switches up there, and so I just thought it was something cool to mess with.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So I did that, and it had some pretty cool results, so I don't know, I made it into a file.
Yeah, and there's quite a few. There's some other scans that have been put up there lately, too. Some of them from overseas.
Yeah, Frescativo.
Yeah, where was it? Australia or no?
Yeah, Australia. He's been going crazy. He got VoIP, and he got a provider that offers good international plans, you know? So he went with them, and he's just been going crazy with the thing. Yeah, no, he's always been into the Australian phones and everything, the phone system down there, so I'm like the best thing that's happened to him for a while, you know, he's all psyched on it.
Yeah, very cool.
So I just updated it tonight too, actually. He sent in a file last week with a Sydney scan, and then right after I posted it, a couple minutes later, he submitted another one, and so I lagged, and I took a couple days, and then I just updated it tonight, and so that's on there now.
No, that's all right. When you have time. We all know how that is. Real life takes precedence and work and all that kind of stuff, but
yep.
It's just really cool to see that there's still as many, it's still being updated as much, and there's still people submitting stuff just as much as there ever has been. If anything, it's been moving faster than I expected. It's really been still moving along quite well.
It's good. I'm glad, you know. It's such like a good site. I didn't want to just see it sit there.
Yeah, and the other thing is there was some changes that we needed to make and are still in the process of making. But for the most part, we didn't want to stray from what it originally was. You know, we're not going to change the content or the basic overall feel of the site, but there were some minor changes here and there. Of course, the emails. Oh, that's right. You should definitely pimp the email, because we told people that because we were switching boxes and because of some changes, we lost all the email accounts. But we are now, you have set up a no account for people to submit things to?
Yep. We were using Gmail for a while, but now that it's back up, I got Natus at oldschoolfreak you can submit articles to. Natus at oldschoolfreak.com. That's like the main email.
Okay.
And then, I set some people back up with their forwarders too. So if people are listening to this and they used to have forwarders, just hit me up and let me know where you want it to go to and what your email was and everything. Because I know, like, Icon had one and Brisk had one.
Yeah, I think that's one of the pages.
Back up.
Yeah, that's one of the pages I think we lost, unfortunately. But, contact Natus at oldschoolfreak.com and let him know. And make sure you put mine back on there, too. Make sure you route that one over to my other address. Put my forwarder back.
No doubt.
Yep. And let's see what. And also some other changes that you made were, as the times changed and technologies changed, we were starting to run into a situation where all the text files were gathering up, but it was getting harder to kind of categorize them. So you added, I know, at least a VoIP section. You put a voiceover. You separated the voiceover IP articles, right? Did you do something else or?
Well, it's VoIP/*, actually.
Ah, that's what it was. Okay.
I mean, even though some of them have, like, it's kind of weird because, I mean, some of them are Perl, you know, and so they kind of fall into two categories, but I left it under, you know, it's made for *, so I put it under the VoIP/*, section.
Yeah, that's probably
the best.
There's
some good stuff in there.
Yeah, that's probably the best idea.
I mean, VoIP's, like, so hot right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Even me, I'm not a freak, but even me, I'm excited about VoIP.
Yeah, see?
I've been playing with some stuff myself with my new VoIP setup. I don't have all the asterisk stuff that you guys have, and I have a box here that I was going to do it, and I finally just said, you know what, don't overcommit to another project that you're not going to have time to do, so I'm not going to get into it like you guys. You guys can teach me that stuff. I'll let you guys handle that. Because I know between you and Not Theory and Voodoo Hal, all you guys.
Nick 84.
Yep, good. Oh man, Pepsi Edge is horrible. All right, well it's and I guess that's all that you're working on that we can mention on the air, right? That's all we can talk about. So, did you have something else?
I don't know. I just want people to know that I'm maintaining it and everything now, and I just want them, just send me email and let me know what you think, if I'm doing a good job or if I'm doing a bad job or what. I mean, I was kind of nervous taking over and everything. It's like a certain quality level, and I didn't want to bring it down.
Well, I can tell you as a matter of a fact right here on the air that you're not taking it down. You're doing a fantastic job. It's moving wonderfully.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
So, yeah, if anybody has anything to say, just email me. And if you have articles to send in or if you have sites with some stuff that you want to, you got some, like, Perl scripts or something, some hack freak stuff.
Some scans.
Send it to me.
You got scans or some back spoofs?
Yeah, definitely back spoofs. I don't know if too many people know about back spoofs.
Well, they have to, you know what? They're going to have to buy the second issue. Is it the second issue? Third issue.
Yeah, the third issue.
Third issue.
The
of
last
mine.
One.
I don't even, yeah, that's terrible. I've lost track of my own magazine. There's only three issues out. Issue 2.1, the third issue of Binary Revolution magazine, has the back spoofing article. And, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think people realize how cool back spoofing really is. You've got to buy issue 2.1, the green cover, the latest issue of Binary Revolution magazine, and read that article by Not Theory. He discovered that it's really, really cool, and you can get a lot of cool information. And, you know, it's evident by going out and checking out your back spoofing scans and stuff on oldschoolfreak.com.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what else? We probably can't go into detail, but I got some articles from you, didn't I?
Yeah, I wrote an article about back spoofing, like a follow-up to Not Theory's article, actually.
Yep, that's what...
So that'll hopefully be in the next issue.
Yeah, that's like
it'll be coming out this winter, right?
Well, knock on wood. We have jobs and lives, and I have already edited about a third of the articles this past weekend, so it is underway. I have spoken with Logan Five. We're both just horribly swamped at work right now, so we are both trying to squeeze it in as much as we can. So the process of creating the new one has begun, and yes, we do hope to get it out by the end of December, hopefully, but we can't commit or swear to that, so don't get all bent out of shape if it's not there.
Yeah, you know, people need to realize people got lives.
You know, and I mentioned, I'm going to give you a pat on the back for this, too. I mentioned it might have been the last show, the last episode, or a recent episode, about, I went on a little soapbox about using your time wisely, and how, like, I wrote the introduction for this issue of the magazine on the plane ride on the way to Freaknik, and a little bit on the way back, I polished it up. In addition to writing those, I also studied for one of my certification exams that I'm going to be taking. And I guess as long as we're doing this, I don't want to lead this away, but if you're done, I'll go into my show and tell stuff, I guess, kind of. But I'm bringing this up because you did something that you probably don't even realize that I noticed this, but it means a lot when I see somebody. It's a good sign for me when I see somebody do this. And that is, at Freaknik, in the hotel room, when there was downtime and there was nothing going on, you were on your laptop and working on this article. And that, sincerely, is a sign of somebody who's really wants to learn and wants to do this. And I know you don't think that I noticed that, and I don't want to sound all corny or anything like that, but that was really, it really was, I was very impressed to have seen that. That was very cool, using your time, using free time, getting stuff done. You know, that I thought that was really cool. And that's the article that you submitted for, so...
There's actually two articles.
Right. And I have not edited them, but I did give them the quick scan, the quick once-over, and they both look pretty good. I don't know if we're going to get them both in this issue. One might have to wait till next. I'm not sure. We'll see how the space situation works out. But, yeah, they both look good at first glance, and one of them is definitely going to be in there.
Rad. Yeah, I was pretty busy, you know, and then I was like, now or never.
Yeah.
I did that Freaknik.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you know when you're done with Freaknik, you got to go back home and go to work.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? You got to get in where you fit in, you know? We got to speed up here. I'm going to make mine very quick. I had quite a bit going on this past week, but I'm going to make it short because we're running on time a little bit. I mentioned Visual Studio earlier. I've actually been using visualstudio.net. I know about it. I've seen it. I've opened it up before and then stood there with my jaw hanging open at all of the buttons and all the stuff that's on the screen going, where do I begin? Well, earlier this week, I just said, forget it. I dove in the deep end, off the high dive, head first. All right, well, maybe not off the high dive, but I jumped into the deep end and went straight into working on some Visual Studio stuff. I had a couple projects in mind that I wanted to work on, and I just started doing them. And I hope it's not totally messing up the recording here that my other phone, we're on the VoIP phone, so my real phone is ringing in the background. That's pretty funny. But I... let's see here. What was I going to say? I am working on some VisualStudio.net stuff, and it's pretty simple. That, like I said, it lets you draw the buttons. It lets you do all the work. It does all the work for you so that you can concentrate just on the application of the code itself and stuff like that. So I jumped in, and quite frankly, somebody who had no experience whatsoever, somebody who'd never used it before, and in the matter of about an hour, I had laid out the entire application, I had the buttons, I had everything created, and I went straight over to the code and was actually filling in the rest of the code as I went along, and it's not quite done yet because I ended up getting sidetracked on something else, as usually happens to me, unfortunately, and I ended up having to abandon it temporarily, or at least move on to something else temporarily. So I was really surprised at exactly how easy it was. So when I speak earlier about, you know, when I was talking earlier about how easy it is to jump into that, just to let you know, it's very, very, very easy. So I did that. I've been doing some database work. I'm a database programmer. For the listeners who probably listened for a while know that. And I've been working on a database lately that just is the biggest steaming piece of crap I've ever seen, ACT. I don't know if you've ever heard of ACT. It's a personal information manager, a contact managing program. What a piece of crap this product is. It's so horrible. It uses a proprietary database, everything stored internally. And that's fine. That's not necessarily unusual. But on top of that, it doesn't have any export functions. The only thing it'll do is export a comma-separated value file, and it's only selected information. It doesn't export everything. It only exports the main fields. I need all of them. And the other thing that really blew my mind is that it's not ODBC compliant. And I thought that was just ridiculous. I can't believe that an application in 2004 doesn't have ODBC compliance built into it. I mean, that's ridiculous. But not going to go on that rant either. I actually have some happy news. I mentioned earlier that I switched to VoIP. Lucky 225 gave me a recommendation, so I got to shout him out with the VoIP provider. And the other part of that, I was waiting to coincide these two things, the switching to VoIP and installing and setting up my 5.8 gigahertz phone system. Since I've got everything coming through VoIP into one main unit now, I had to get one of those expandables so I'm able to put a handset in the other rooms where I had phones in the past. So I got that set up and working. I got a VTEC system. It's really cool because it has a USB port on it and audio uplink that I can connect to the computer, and I can upload my own ringtones, wallpapers, and stuff like that to the phone, which is really cool. Kind of silly maybe, but it's kind of cool to be able to put whatever person's picture, like anytime Natas calls, I can have the picture of him and the horse from Nashville show up on my screen. We got to put that in the gallery soon.
Owned.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And other than that, I'm kind of stoked because I had article published in the current 2600, current issue of 2600, and the current issue of Blacklisted 411. So that's kind of cool that I was in both at the same time. So that's what I've been working on, and I'm talking really fast because I'm trying to get all this content in. We got two stories I wanted to cover, and Natas, help me out with this one because I'm going to take a drink here. But the story, what happened with Microsoft? There was a big discovery with Microsoft this week.
Yeah. So, basically, they found out that every copy of Windows XP contains 9 different audio files. It's in a certain folder.
It's in the help.
/tours,
right.
/Windows Media Player, /audio, /wave. And there's all these WAV files. And then if you open them up with a hex editor, they notice at the bottom you'll see a small signature or whatever it is.
Right.
It's in the last lines, and it says, what does it say? It says something about Deep Zone.
Yeah, it's got some numbers in it, and Deep Zone, and then SoundForge 4.5. In plain text, so you can clearly read that in the last line. And you can actually, again, it was help. /tours/Windows Media Player/audio/wave, and you can open some of those up and take a look. You can open them even in Notepad. It doesn't have to be a hex editor. Hex editor just kind of makes it cleaner and easier, but you can open them up in Notepad and look at the bottom of them. Now, why is this big news? Why is this important? The fact that it says, well, see, there's two things. First, the audio files are created using guess what?
SoundForge.
There you go. SoundForge 4.5. So seeing that signature in there, we know that they use SoundForge as the application to make their audio files. Big whoop. Who cares? Whatever. Well, that's not the important part. The important part is just before that, those numbers and letters and the name Deep Zone. That's the important part of this. Deep Zone, and it's been a while, so I know some of the younger people might not have heard of him or recognize the name Radium, but they were a cracking group, and they broke up a few years back, but they released key generators, software cracks, things like that. And actually, Zerl in the opening theme mentions things cracked by Radium. I mean, it's in the song. I mean, they are well known.
Mm-hmm.
And Deep Zone was one of the members. Well, why would his name... I mean, okay, SoundForge shows up in there because they use SoundForge, but why would the name of this cracker show up in the signature of this files? Now, wait a minute, let me think. I'm suddenly a little confused. Where would that have come from? Let me think. Could it possibly be... You don't think, Natas, is it? You don't think it's... Did they use pirated software at Microsoft?
Why would they?
No, not Microsoft.
Ever.
Not Microsoft. Couldn't have been.
Not our buddies at Redmond.
Copyright infringement, anyone? Hello? Microsoft, that signature is definitely recognizable and is placed there if you're using a cracked version of SoundForge 4.5. So they used the cracked version of SoundForge 4.5, and that little signature, that little line at the end, is proof that they used it. They're caught. They're busted red-handed, and it's on, as Natas mentioned earlier, every copy of Windows XP. It's on the CD. It's on every it was released like that. All these, and we've talked before about, like, every file, your JPEGs even. You take a JPEG with a digital camera. There's all kinds of attributes, not only file size and read-write attributes. There's all kinds of other things, like an ID3 tag in MP3 files. Has all that extra information. Same thing with JPEGs. You take something with a digital camera, it adds a lot of information. If you've ever put your name in your camera or some kind of customization, that would be tied to it. Microsoft got caught up in their own over-engineering, which I think is kind of funny. I can't wait to see if they get sued over this. I'm sure they'll dodge it. I'm sorry?
It's pretty damn funny. It's a little bit, I don't know.
It's
shocking.
I was going to say, you really can't believe it. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's funny that it happened, but I really can't believe that you would think they'd be more careful.
It's, like, so ironic, though.
Yeah.
Like, the richest company in the world pirating software.
Kind of be curious now, honestly, to, that's a good point. The richest company in the world pirating software. That's a great point. I'm kind of curious now to go looking and see what other files have that signature in it, or other files with other signatures, and start catching and start seeing that kind of information. I hope this doesn't turn into like a big crackdown where people start doing that. But, hey, we'll see what comes of it. Now, the other funny thing about this, and the reason I say Microsoft will probably end up getting off scot-free, they'll get out of it somehow, is because SourceForge, at the time, 4.5 was like the last one they released as SourceForge before they sold the rights. Now, the rights, I'm sorry, I said SourceForge, I think. I meant SoundForge. I think I said SourceForge. But SoundForge now is owned by my other favorite company, Sony. Sony bought the rights to SoundForge and releases the newer versions. So, it's kind of another cool thing about this is it's kind of cool to see the two big boys, the big companies, fighting with each other for a change. Let them fight each other. Let them sue each other to death instead of all these big companies coming down and suing 12 and 13-year-old girls and 80-year-old women and stuff like that. Let's see them take on someone their own size. I want to sit back and watch this. But, you know, quite honestly, I think they're both going to back down. They're both going to be scared of each other, and they're going to end up working out some kind of silly agreement, and there won't be any punishment. Nothing will come of it. And the other thing is there is kind of a potential for a loophole here. If Microsoft can prove, or I don't know how much they have to prove, they can claim that all their audio work might have been outsourced, because that happens a lot, especially in games and different software. They'll outsource the software to someone else, or they'll buy stock libraries of sound files or video files or picture files, etc. And if they claim that it was done by a contractor, that it wasn't actually developed in-house by them, then the liability shifts to someone else. So they'll get out of it some way or the other. One of those things is going to happen.
I'd feel bad for the contractor.
Yeah, well, then they'd have to prove the contractor as well did it. And, you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah, well, let's see how it all plays out. It's very interesting. This just came out yesterday, so it's pretty interesting. Let's see where that goes. I suspect it'll end up, Microsoft just has a way of not, I don't know what I'm trying
either
to say.
Either way out of it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say. They'll get away with it. You know, they're Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can touch Microsoft. Not even the government. They're too big for the government to mess with. Because, you know what, if the government messes with them, Bill says, you know what, you guys all use Windows, right? Let me just shut you guys off real quick. Government, bye-bye. Gone. Meanwhile, of course, all the governments of most other major developing countries use Linux. And that was the cover and the opening, my opening introduction for issue 1.2 of our magazine was that exact topic. The United States is still caught up in bed with Microsoft. And that's dangerous. But I digress. I had one other topic I wanted to cover tonight, and actually, Natish, you can probably talk about this more than I can, because I just recently installed this, and what I'm talking about is that Google Desktop, is that all it's called, Google Desktop Search or Google Desktop Indexer or something like that?
I think it's just called Google Desktop.
Just the Google Desktop. Well, I finally broke down and installed it and played with it, but you put it on, like, right when it came out, didn't you? I know you're a fan of Google.
Yeah. No, I like Google, and yeah, I was kind of excited when it came out because I just thought it'd be a good way to index text files and everything. Just so if I was looking for a certain number, real quick, I would know what file it was in.
Oh, that would be really handy for scans and things like that. Yeah.
Right. I would never put it on like my server at work or anything, you know. But this is just something I put on my like home desktop, and I put it on a laptop that I just screw around with and I can format whenever I want, you know.
Right, and that's really the moral of this whole story, and I think a few people have mentioned this and discovered this. This thing will index not only your text files, but all of your files, no matter what they are. It'll index all of your files, including your porn. I mean, not that I had any or anything. I'm just saying theoretically, of course. I'm not saying it indexed my porn. I mean, I don't have any porn. Wait a minute. Hold on. Scratch that. Back up. It'll index all of your files. Joking aside, it'll index everything. And not only that, it can index your... you know what else I found? I found, when I did some Google searches, I found... It found for me and reported stuff from my cache, which was kind of scary. I didn't realize it was going to do that, but technically all this stuff in the cache is a file, and it does get indexed. So I had some remnants out in the cache that I was surprised to show up on that on a search when I looked for some stuff. But at the same time, I got to tell you, I searched for some specific things that I knew existed to see how many copies I had or something, and they didn't show up. So I don't know how thorough this is. I had some text files with a couple certain keywords in it that I was looking for, and it did not find them, not all of them.
Well, the whole thing is that it takes a little bit of time for it to index everything.
Yeah, when I installed
it... It doesn't do it right away. It uses your idle CPU cycles to index everything.
When I first installed it, it said it was going to take several hours. And basically, I did it before I went to bed and let it run overnight. So it should be fully indexed by now. Of course, it's ongoing. It's an ongoing process. As you add new files and move stuff around, it's going to keep re-indexing and everything. But the bulk of it should be done up front in one mass process at the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, the thing is, if you're using it on a computer at home, like Nada said, if you're using it on just a computer that only you use, then it's fine. Then it's great. I won't say it's great, but it could be useful in certain situations. Frankly, I don't know that I'm going to use it a whole lot, to be quite honestly with you. I tried it a couple times, and it also integrates with the regular Google. I went on the Google search engine page to search for something, and at the top of that, it shows the local files on my hard drive first.
Yeah.
I didn't want that. I just wanted a separate indexing for local files only. So that kind of annoyed me because I just want my web results. I don't want the local results.
Yeah, they should have a feature to disable out.
There might be, and I just haven't found it. So.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't found it either because it's all there online.
Yeah, I haven't looked. I pretty much have just set it up and got the basics.
This is only beta still, you know?
Oh, it is beta. I did not know if it was beta or not. It's still beta version?
Yep.
Okay. I don't remember whether it was or not. I just downloaded it when they announced it, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Google's pretty good about listening to what users want and what they don't want and stuff, so if enough people complain about some of this stuff, it might help, you know?
Yeah, one other cool thing that I wasn't intending to bring this up on the show, but since you mentioned Google changes, they added POP3 support to Gmail. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, and the whole thing is that they're making money off you viewing the ads when you log into the site and everything.
Yeah, but
so
how are they?
It's kind of weird that they actually did that.
I know, and I'm still surprised. And they claim that they are fully intending this. I mean, it's still Gmail also is in beta still, and this is something they just added recently. But they claim that they're going to keep it in there for the long term. They have no plans of taking it out. So I thought that was kind of cool. I have actually added Gmail to my local mail checks, just like I check all my other servers. I check the Gmail server remotely now, too.
Mm-hmm.
I leave copies of it on Gmail because it's a gigabyte of space. I mean, might as well use it. And, again, I told you earlier about some other tricks I'm using it for, which is going to be kind of cool. So, yeah, Google's doing some cool things. Now, the only point I wanted to bring up, we made the point, but I just wanted to make people think also like this. Don't put this on a system at work, not only a server, but even on your personal system at work, because it then indexes your personal emails. And if somebody comes along behind you and does a search, even if it's innocent, even if it's part of a work process, if they do a search for something, it might accidentally pop up one of your email subject lines or something like that. Potentially embarrassing, depending on what you're searching for, etc., but potentially embarrassing and a privacy invasion. But, you know, they could argue that you shouldn't have extra software at work anyway, but that's neither here nor there. The other cool, interesting thing is, what if you go to a kiosk, and this is on my list of things to try. If I go to a kiosk and either I have access to Google and it allows me to download and install things, which most of them shouldn't. They prevent that. Or if I root it and put it on anyway, if I root the kiosk and get access to install, if I put it on there, let that thing index and see everything that's on there. I can start searching for example, oh, I don't know, password, something like that, usernames, default, stuff like that. So I think that might be an interesting application of it. And whether or not it's a kiosk or not, you know, if I'm having a sleepover at Natus's house, if we're having like a pajama party and I sneak onto Natus's computer and install it, I can search all through his stuff. How about that?
Fear.
Owned! Alright, well, I guess that's probably enough. Unless, is there anything
well,
about...
what are you going to talk about? You didn't mention how it bypasses password-protected files as well.
Yeah, go ahead. I absolutely did not mention that. Go ahead. Password-protected...
I noticed this on my computer when I was testing it out. I had some Word files that I have password-protected. I mean, I'm not trying to be, like, uber secure with them or anything, but just, you know, for basic stuff, so like somebody else at work or my parents or something couldn't get into it. Just, like, basic Word files of, like, I don't know, like, company data or something. And once I opened them, once you open them, it indexes them. So even if they're password protected, it's got an indexed copy of it.
And it's a copy of not just the file name, but the actual contents?
Yeah.
Wow, that's scary. So if I search for it, and it gives me a link to that local file, it'll actually, like if it's a password-protected document file, it'll allow me to open it?
It won't allow you to open it because...
it's still password-protected.
It's still password-protected, but it'll have a cache of it that you could get.
And you can search all the keyword, all your search will look through the contents of that file. And the same thing,
right.
Isn't that also true for password-protected email accounts and stuff as well?
I'm guessing,
I think so. I think I read that somewhere as well.
Yeah, if you open it, it's going to index it. It basically is like the thing to remember.
Well, I guess all my show notes are indexed. That could be handy if I want to go search through 70 episodes of show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a reason. I guess I will keep it on here at home, but I'm definitely not going to put it anywhere else other than a very, very trusted machine. I also wouldn't put it on my laptop. Laptop, you have a tendency to let people borrow them or use them or whatever, or you're using them in front of people and you could be potentially caught in something embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a good feature if they could keep it so it only does certain folders you want or something, you know?
Right.
Like certain directories.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's beta. Maybe they will add some of that stuff in.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
All right. Well, I guess that's... I can't think of anything else for that. I'm glad you brought that up, though. That was a good point. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, this is a full show. I mean, we're just about out of time. By the time we mix in the opening, closing music and stuff, I think we're done here. So let's move into the shout-outs. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and give a couple shout-outs first to Black Ratchet. I've been talking with him lately. I've been working on some stuff. Obfuscated to Logo SX. And to the old man, Logan 5. Happy birthday. Big shouts out to Logan 5.
Yeah.
And what else you got?
I got shouts. I don't know.
Oh, yes, you do. Not Theory. Go ahead.
Theory, my hero.
There you go.
The weirdest programmer ever. I don't know. Normal people. Nick 84, of course, helps me out all the time. Just everybody on the BinRev forums, Decoder. All those guys.
Nick 84 hasn't banned you from Instant Messenger. He hasn't blocked you from Instant Messenger yet.
I don't talk to him on Instant Messenger. I talk to him on the PMs.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he's probably getting pretty sick of me though. So, shouts to him for not killing me.
No, Nick's a great guy. He always helps out. I bother him with stuff too. He knows. I mean, Nick knows his stuff. There's no doubt. Nick 84 is the man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, let's see. Email, if you have feedback for this or any other episode, you can email us at radio@binrev.com. And why don't you go ahead and tell, what was the email address for Old School Freak?
natus@oldschoolfreak.com.
Okay, if you have any submissions, scans, phone freaking articles, content, stuff like that, send that over there. And our closing music tonight... I'm really, really tempted to play Beatallica. I'm kind of tempted to play Metallica, but Yeah, I don't want to get sued because they sue everybody. Crybabies. Beatallica, on the other hand, gave us permission to play their songs. So I'm tempted to do that, but, yeah, actually, you hooked me up with something better. We got a little Dirty South crunk to drop on them, provided by Natus. And go ahead and tell them who it is.
He's called the Mr. Move. His name is Reggie. Pretty badass. White guy doing his thing.
And the name of the track that we're going to play is Liquor Jam. And you know what? I had to ask Natus for this. I asked Natus for this song because you have this on your voicemail. And I sit there and I'm like, man, this is kind of, I'm rocking to this, man. This is good stuff. I actually had to find out what it was, so we're going to close with that track. And I guess that's going to do it. So, Natus, thank you for co-hosting the show with me.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, you did a really, really good job. First time on the show, not too nervous. It's kind of, it's fun. It's not all that big a deal.
Yeah.
But thank you for being on, and this is the point where we tell all the listeners that we will see them next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Actually, wait a minute, hold on. Natus.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I just realized, you're running oldschoolfreak.com.
Yeah.
You're co-hosting the show.
Uh-huh.
We shared a room at the hotel at Freaknik. What is up with all this? Why are you all up in DDP's business? What's up with all the DDP stuff?
DDP, bitch. The dog pound.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Liquor jam, I'm the man, though I still say ma'am, damn. Trust the bottle, now I'm living full throttle. Rather party with a thick girl than a skinny model. The doctor said you need some shots, so I took her to the floor with a skill like at the hot four. Now that I'm thinking, he didn't be drinking, he was talking about the needle. Never said the wheel, help not hinder my hidden agenda. Getting that pretty girl to fender. Body, open mind, bra shook behind down to the rhyme. Eyes for me, but she's blind. I never steady, just a friendship with Reggie and Eddie. Pull out my machete, cause it's about time for a C to cut it up. Liquor jam, every ounce of bounce in me. I'm gonna be choosing, using booze in big amounts, you'll see. Liquor jam, every ounce of bounce in me. I'm gonna be choosing, using booze in big amounts, you'll see. Liquor jam, every ounce of bounce in me. I'm gonna be choosing, using booze in big amounts, you'll see. It's time for shots of beer, for fear of being sober up in here. It's clear, my dear, I wouldn't be in your ear. If it wasn't for all this liquid cheers to steal your rear right over here. Let me work you up some tears. When I get you wet, remove the red, you bet. Red, you're gonna net, find a smoke set. You know what's mean when the bottle's empty. Let's see, oh hell, I got about three more before I'm sure. I'm saying I'm not poor, cause I'm tough with the leather. And depending on the weather, I'm not, you like it a lot like a bad attitude. And a bottle of getting rude, I made my mark.